Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms.
This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon titled, What Just Happened?
Hey, I have a question for you. What just happened? Here we are on the last Sunday of 2020. What just happened? How did we get here? Who would have predicted a year ago that we would be in this place? Who would understand all the things that took place? In those pictures that you saw earlier in the review of the year, could you have imagined any of those things? I know I couldn't, and that didn't even include murder hornets. What just happened? More to the point, what does that mean for what's next? On this Sunday in between where the Christmas we've just had and the year we're about to start, that's a really good question. And if you've got that question, you're not alone. And in fact, I'm going to contend that that's pretty close to the passage that we have with Mary and Joseph. I'll bet they were asking the same question. What just happened? Between the shepherds and the stars and messages from angels, between wise men who show up, but then going to the temple and there's Anna and there's Simeon. What just happened? More to the point, what's next? It says Mary pondered or treasured these things in her heart. She kept them there. She was wondering these same things. So let me ask you, what are you pondering in your heart these days? What questions are you asking? What are you holding, looking for answers? Seems to me there's two approaches. There's two approaches to this question. And the first is to just get on with it and say, well, 2020 was an anomaly. Let's get it out of the way. Now let's get on with life as it's supposed to be. Let's get on to 2021. I've seen it a number of times. I'll bet you have too, that sign that says, listen, I'm staying up on New Year's Eve, not just to see 2021 come in, but to make sure 2020 leaves. I get that. And that is one approach. Let's just get on with it and be done with this, and let's get back, and now that we can get to life as we think it should be. Here's the second one, and it's the one I'm going to suggest that we take. It's pay attention. Pay attention to what just happened. Because as we do, it may have some great cues for what's next. Here's the proposition. God is at work, but not everyone sees it. How is it that Anna and Simeon are able to see something that God is at work where everybody else that day, as Mary and Joseph are bringing Jesus to the temple, they just saw children or one more couple, one more group of peasants, but Anna and Simeon saw something. Not everybody sees what God is doing, but God is always doing something at work. I think there's a reason that people like Anna and Simeon in the Bible are typically old. It takes practice. It takes practice to develop the eyes to be able to see what everybody else sees as common, as ordinary, maybe even insignificant, and to see something that is sacred, to see something holy. It does take practice. One of the practices that I have of the habits of the hope is that examine practice. It's the practice of noticing what's around and beginning to recognize in the events that just took place, good, bad, and otherwise, where do we see God emerging? Where do we see the characteristics of God? Where's the compassion of God showing up? Where's the integrity of God, of the Spirit? Where is the love? Where is the mercy? Where's the justice? Where's the agitation of the Spirit? What has God's fingerprints on it? It's an important question, and whether you do it annually and just take some time in a journal to do that, or better yet, weekly, better yet, daily, the more we do that, the better able we are to see it. Most of us are familiar with that, you know, that thing from Mr. Rogers, in the times of trouble and tragedy, the advice that he got from his mother that he passes on to every other child. In times of tragedy, in times of great crisis, watch for the helpers. That's good advice in the moment. And the more that we do that, as more we begin to see the people who are emerging, and these are the people that seem to have the fingerprints of God on them, the more we notice the helpers now, the more likely we are to be those helpers in the future. Because here's the assumption, that God comes to us ultimately, the work of God comes to us as our life. Think of Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph had just had this amazing experience, as it is told, with shepherds and angels and signs in the sky and with wise men. And here's Anna and Simeon, and they could have stayed there and just waited for what's next. But our passage says basically they got on with it. They got on with their life and got into the dailiness of it. They didn't understand it. They didn't understand all that had taken place. They are still pondering these things in their heart, like we are pondering what just happened to us. But rather than be frozen by it, they took care of what was in front of them and began to trust that maybe, just maybe, that is what they were supposed to be doing right now. Think about it. We don't really hear about Jesus again for another 30 years. There's, you know, this one incident when he was 12. But up until then, everything else is taking place to get Jesus ready 30 years later. So here's the question. Which meal wasn't important? Which cleaning? Which conversation wasn't important? What encounter? What lessons? What work? What friendship? When we begin to recognize that God is in this life that's in front of us, and this is how God comes, then we begin to pay attention to it in new ways. We begin to see it all as possibly sacred, with the possibility of making it holy. I've been having a lot of conversations the last couple weeks over the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Several people, we have had these conversations, and it has made me think that what is powerful about this movie is it's the realism of it. Because what it holds up is it's the dailiness of life that is sacred. We all start off as kids, and somewhere somebody's told us, you can do anything you want. And that may or may not be true within limits. But at some point, we recognize that while we may be able to do anything, we can't do everything. And so choices get made, or choices are made for us, or the choices are made by the people around us who disappoint us, or just the dailiness of and the drudgery of our own life, the grind, that kind of, and we begin to wonder, what happened? What's happened to my life? Isn't that the George Bailey question? What happened? I had so much promise. I could have done anything. And here I am. And it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get ground down. But then something happens, and we begin to realize that the real question right now isn't, what are all the things that I could do? Because at a certain age, you realize most of those choices have been made for you. By the time you wake up, your day's pretty much set. Now the choice has to do with, how will I do what has been given to me? That is the choice, and in that is the power. Because as we do that, then we begin to recognize the real choice is not just to wait until things go back to normal, or wait until all these irritations, and I don't have to worry about the house that breaks down and the draftiness. I don't have to worry about people who disappoint. I don't have to worry about health. I don't have to worry about the past. No, that is what I have been given. This is where I find God present. And as we do that, then we begin to recognize that the real task then is to tend to the work that's in front of us. Don't keep waiting for it all to go so that you can get on with what you thought you were supposed to do. No, it's right here in front of you. And when you do that, then life gets different. Then life has a different energy. We begin to recognize, you know what? Because of Christ coming, there are no ordinary children. There are no insignificant tasks. There are no people for whom Christ didn't die and suffer. There's no place on earth that is insignificant. There is no place for which Christ didn't give, and that includes you, and that includes me. So if we want to know what's next, we often don't have to go much further than what is right in front of us. There's that wonderful quote that the sacred moments, the moments of miracle, are often the ones that are just the common, ordinary events of our day. If we don't find Christ there, we're likely to miss Christ everywhere. It's an invitation to approach. It's an invitation to approach life and the tasks that you've been given as sacred, with the possibility that they might even be holy, because they are, and because it is. What just happened? What's next? Before we put Christmas away so that we can get on with whatever's ahead, the invitation of this passage, the invitation that we have, is pay attention to what just happened so that you can tend to what's in front of you. Howard Thurman has this wonderful poem that we often quote around here. It's called The Work of Christmas. Let me remind us of it. It says, when the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. That's where we find what God has for us. It's right here. It's right here in front of us. And it begins now. This is the piece that inspired what Leslie has put together. It's a beautiful piece, and I'm going to invite you to watch it, listen to it. And as you are doing that, to reflect on, in your own life, what just happened. And now what's next? Because God is at work, and God comes to us as our life. And the response is to tend to that as something that is sacred and holy. Worship always demands a response, and this worship service is no different. In fact, maybe more so. What do we do with what we had today? And the question is, where did you sense something that had your name on it? Maybe it was in the sermon. Maybe it was in a piece of music or the scripture or a prayer. Or maybe there was something that was just a nudge of God somewhere. Pay attention to that. And then what's next? What are the next steps? There's a number of possibilities. There may be people you need to call. There may be actions that need to be taken. There may be habits that need to be changed. There may be resolutions that are in front of us, not just because they're New Year's resolutions, but they really are Christmas resolutions. Because the light has come into the world, now what am I going to do? And how will I pay attention to the sacredness of my own life and this one and only life that I've been given? What will I do next? Maybe it will involve taking on some of the practices. I'll be talking more about that next week. But what are those things that can help shape your heart and soul so that they are more open and responsive to what God is doing and what God is yet to do? And whatever you do, I hope that this is a year that is a happy one. More, I hope that it's joyous. As you go out, go loving God this week. Everything you've got, go loving your neighbor as yourself, because those are the key things that will determine how you will show up this year. This year, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. In believing, may you abound with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit now and forever. Amen. Friends, as you go out this year, go out with the peace of Christ wherever you go. May the peace of Christ be a companion. May it be with you in the good times and the bad, whether it is something that makes sense or makes no sense at all, the underlying reality of your life. May it be the peace of Christ, and may it go with you. Go in peace.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace.